So anyways, let's jump into the weekly recap. So there's a lot of development happening right now. Actually, it's been pretty crazy. Not just with, you know, IDOs and, you know, kind of working through a better solution for deploying IDOs, you know, for all the future ones we've got, which is kind of a long roster now. But also, you know, just in general developments, which is pretty, you know, just kind of scaling up a lot of the stuff we're doing and hiring more people and expanding the team to handle a lot more stuff. So, you know, that comes into play with existing infrastructure and administrative tasks and, you know, refunds and, you know, monitoring the geyser and updating the geyser and all this stuff. So, you know, kind of everything behind the scenes has been about expansion for a while. So we've just been kind of looking for ways to bring in new people to make Leo Finance and Cub, you know, grow and deploy all of our, you know, roadmap updates, you know, more timely and then also manage, you know, all the existing projects and make sure that, you know, things like refunds happen faster. And so there's a lot of, you know, administrative stuff and there's a lot of development stuff that's happening faster now because the team is bigger. And that's just kind of a theme going forward. You know, because we've had a lot of growing pains over the last couple of months. So that's definitely been the focus of mine for the last few months, just finding new people and building out the team. So that kind of leads us into the mobile app, which, you know, obviously is one of the major things that everyone's looking forward to. I've been using it on my phone. So I mean, it's really incredible. That's like, I'd say 80% of my time on Leo Finance now is through the mobile app. So sweet. Yeah. So I love using it. And I think it's just huge, game changer for Leo in general. So, we just deployed version 0.0.10, which is, you know, kind of our private beta update. So it's kind of 10, basically marks like 10 updates of the mobile app and 10 iterations, which, you know, all push us forward closer to the MVP. So we're still kind of on track for that October 1st release date for the open beta. So, you know, our goal is to get it into open beta and into everybody's hands on October 1st. So, you know, we have kind of a short-term roadmap for releasing that, and we're just following that roadmap and just releasing updates. So I think our latest update was to fix an issue with commenting. So now the app works for voting, for commenting, for posting, you know, all those core features have already been deployed into it. And now it's other stuff like Leo rewards and displaying content certain ways. So that's kind of where we're at now with the mobile app. And then, you know, we're focusing on marketing more so. Now, obviously, I think it's more important than ever that we look for ways to expand. So, you know, I think the best way to market is, you know, a content distribution plan. So having all these different channels like TikTok, YouTube, you know, Mitch has been doing a lot of TikTok and I think, you know, as a team, we can expand out and, you know, bring in people to basically do TikTok and YouTube and podcasting and all this stuff that's been kind of neglected for a while. I think it would be huge to build like a massive content library and have it all Leo branded. So that's kind of where we're at. Yeah. So actually last week after our AMA, I did a podcast and we're probably going to release it this weekend. So it was kind of our first in a series of interviews with, you know, people in the crypto space doing interesting things. And it was with someone who's doing a lot of cool stuff with Bitcoin in El Salvador and using it as tender and helping merchants set up. So you know, it's pretty cool. So I think that's kind of the future of marketing in general for the project is bringing in interviews and building out that content library so that we can, you know, bring in a continuous stream of people and lead them all back to the apps. And obviously having the mobile app is going to make that even easier. So it'll make the funnel, you know, more seamless. And then I talked about in the post, you know, IDOs and earlier this week, we released a post talking about IDO number 2 and 3 and how they're going to be different than IDEO number one. So these next two IDEOs, obviously one of them is Polygon Cub. So that was always planned to use 100% Cub and burn 100% Cub. But then we decided to change the model for IDEO number three, which could be number two. It just depends on which platform is ready faster. As you know, they're working on a separate, totally separate team working on IDEO number three. So if they manage to push it out before Polygon Cub, then you'll see IDEO number two be that. Otherwise, you know, we're on track for Polygon Cub to deliver it pretty fast. So, you know, I think we're probably going to be first, but either way, I mean, it doesn't particularly matter who comes first or what. IDEOs are IDEOs. So the next IDEO is going to be coming up probably within the next few weeks. So, you know, either shortly before or shortly after the MobileApp. So, you know, it's definitely fast approaching. And whether it's Polygon Cub or the other IDEO, it's going to utilize 100% Cub. So if it's the other IDEO, so not Polygon Cub, that is going to work. And I basically broke it down in bullet points to try to, you know, succinctly put it forward to everybody. 100% Cub deposited in the IDEO, and then 50% of that Cub is burned, which is the same as IDEO number one, you know, with the obvious change that there's no BUSD involved. So it's 100% Cub in, 50% of that Cub gets burned like before. And then basically that 50% Cub that's burned is replaced with the IDEO token. And then the IDEO participants will receive Cub-IDEO LP tokens. So you basically, you burn half the Cub and then you take the new IDEO token and you replace that burned Cub, and then it creates an LP position for everybody. So at the end of the IDEO, you'll actually receive LP tokens that represent a pooled share of the liquidity pool that's set up with Cub-IDEO token. So it's kind of an interesting model, because instead of obviously giving people liquid tokens and obviously taking BUSD, kind of creates a more holder mindset. And that is deepened through the fact that the IDEO platform is going to create a pool for Cub-IDEO. So obviously I'm just saying IDEO in place of their token name. So then you'll be able to actually LP the LP tokens that you get from the IDEO and earn, you know, APY obviously on their platform. So then, you know, what obviously makes that more interesting is that since there's a Cub pool on another platform, we can create a kingdom for it. And that kingdom will auto compound back into Cub-IDEO tokens. And the rewards are obviously coming from the IDEO platform. So that kind of creates a continuous buy for Cub, because, you know, if you've got a kingdom with, say, $100,000 in it or $1 million in it, that's Cub-IDEO token, and it's earning the IDEO token as LP rewards, then those LP rewards will get sold, 50% of them will get sold back into Cub. So they'll go from IDEO token, because they're getting paid as 100% IDEO token, and you want to go back to 50-50 Cub-IDEO. So obviously 50% of those IDEO tokens that you get through LP rewards will get sold back into Cub to auto compound via the kingdom. So kind of interesting how that works, because it's creating, you know, the IDEO itself creates a short-term burst, and you get a lot of, you know, obviously you get a lot of Cub going in, you get a lot of Cub being removed from the kingdom and from the pools. And with the 100% Cub model, I think we're going to see kind of a reverse of what we saw with IDEO number one, which is, since it was Cub-BUSD going into the IDEO, some people came from the kingdom and they obviously had to sell half their Cub into BUSD. I think it's actually going to be a reverse since we're doing 100% Cub, because people are going to come out of the farm. So say someone comes out of the Cub-BUSD or Cub-BNB farm, they're going to basically have to take 50% of their position and buy into Cub. So, you know, take the BUSD that they pull out of the liquidity pool and buy back into Cub to get 100% Cub, and then push that into the IDEO. So I actually think it's really interesting, because we're going to see the opposite effect of IDEO number one, which was a short-term kind of liquidity crisis because people were needing BUSD. So it'll be interesting to see if that theory plays out, because obviously it would be very bullish short-term. And then you get the 50% burn. So that's the burn is baked in. And then, you know, the third effect is obviously that auto compounding where we create that kingdom. And then those IDO LP incentives are continuously being bought back into Cub and compounded. So it's kind of a new value capture model. So that's kind of where the next part of the post goes, which is, you know, we went from creating V1, which was kind of based on Goose, and it was just kind of a, you know, a quick and dirty way to do, you know, farming in the DeFi space and kind of an early model that everybody used. And then we quickly realized that wasn't sustainable and it wouldn't work because we obviously, you know, platforms like Goose and PantherSwap, they're looking for short term. You know, they're looking to be big in the short term and then kind of just fizzle off as time goes on. And with Cub, we're looking for something different. You know, it's more like Leo, where the goal is a long-term platform where we can continually add to it and build out value. So that's when we move to kingdoms, which create the long-term value capture through the management fees. So that those management fees, obviously, the more TVL we have, the more Cup gets bought and burned through those management fees. So that's kind of value accrual through kingdoms. Then we do the IDOs, which creates short-term bursts of capital being raised and burned. So IDO number one burned $125,000 worth of Cub, which is huge relative to how much Cub was burned before that. And obviously that short-term design of Cub-BUSD impacted the price negatively. So because of the liquidity crisis, but this new model will obviously solve for that crunch and actually possibly do the reverse, which is people coming out of the liquidity pools will sell BUSD or BNB back into Cub to get 100% Cub. So kind of the reverse effect. And then obviously these IDOs are creating a third value capture mechanism now where these partner platforms will create farms that have incentives for Cub staking. So, you know, you'll stake Cub-IDO token and then you'll have a kingdom that auto compounds. So that kind of creates ongoing value accrual for Cub. So, you know, that's all just kind of the overview of value capture and kind of where Cub has been and where it's headed. So, you know, with the kingdoms and the IDOs, and then obviously there's VCub, which is the governance aspect that we haven't released yet. But that's kind of the next major upgrade that we're working on. And then I talked about the V2 migration. So, if you want, you know, the, you know, more detailed post about that, you can go back like 3 or 4 days. There was a detailed post about the migration from V1 to V2. So that was kind of the gist of it. And then
that target's Monday for the V2.
Yep. Target is Monday.
Everyone be prepared.
Not too hard, but there, I mean, it is a logistical move, which is kind of why we kept putting it off as much as possible.
Yeah.
Because, you know, just to create a minimal headache for everybody and be really prepared. So, I think by Monday, you know, we've already kind of prepared posts and stuff for the UI. So, you know, to be as prepared as possible required waiting. And obviously, you know, we prioritize building out new features. So that's just kind of how we decided to go about that.
It'll go. I mean, I'll probably record a video of me like unpooling and repooling and put it out there for at least for my normies. So, but there's always, you know, somehow information falls through the cracks and there'll be some people that don't know. So
Right. Spread
the word on Monday, everyone. Spread the word. So I guess this question is fitting for right now because you just did a general overview about everything. So Rolly Rob basically asked, when it comes to your decision making on allocating resources to create / build new projects versus maintaining / upgrading existing projects, would you mind sharing with us how you view and approach this?
So it's you know, it's not really either or. So, you know, it's not do this or that. Typically, obviously, the, you know, resources aren't unlimited. If they were unlimited, we'd be able to, you know, build everything simultaneously and have no lag time and no delays and all that. So, you know, with resources that we have and obviously like I was getting at, you know, at the beginning of this AMA, you know, the entire focus for the last like 3 months has been finding new people and expanding, you know, how many people are working on the project. And that comes back to, you know, developers and, you know, administrative people to handle different things and automating as much as we can. So like we automated the geyser within the last, I think, 2 months, even less than 2 months. How long has it been? Three, I think the third automated geyser went out a few days ago. Nice. So that would be, yeah, so that would be like what, 5-6 weeks. Yeah, it's all about, you know, automation and expansion right now. And obviously we've had growing pains with managing all the new projects and then also keeping up with maintaining everything. So that's just kind of a function of growing pains. And the expansion is obviously the main focus right now. But in terms of, you know, prioritizing, you know, what comes first and what, you know, what has to, because at the end of the day, you know, if there's an issue with one thing and there's an issue with another thing simultaneously, you have to pick which one you have to go for first, typically. So, you know, you have to prioritize the more, you know, the more urgent issue. So when it comes to that, I think of, you know, from a higher level of, you know, what's best for the project. And what's the goal of Leo Finance, which is to, you know, and I say this everywhere, which is, you know, expand the width and depth of the project. So when I say width, I mean, get more users. I mean, you know, build more apps and, you know, attract a wider audience into the platform and get more monthly active users. And to me, that's width. And then depth is creating more use case and creating more of a reason for our existing user base to stay. So. You know, when it comes to higher level thinking about what we should do, you know, for example, building Cub and the mobile app, it all comes down to that simple mission statement, which is width and depth. So expand the width and depth of Leo Finance. So that's how I'll always prioritize things.
Makes sense. It's a good point of view. And with that, I mean, do you see kind of the theme we have? I mean, it's growth and maintenance, but yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, this growing pains, like you said, because there's plenty of, I guess, quote unquote maintenance that people, I guess, want sooner or faster, which also helps with retention of, you know, the right user base. But at the same time, you know, adding depth is what keeps people around, more use cases, you know, more motivating factors to use the universe of Leo products. So, and you know, like you said earlier too, with the marketing stuff, that's huge for the user base. I mean, honestly, like even like TikTok, I can't tell you, I have no idea how. I think the guy just looks like a shyster, but the whole Hex project, I get Hex TikToks through my feed nonstop. And I'm like, not interacting, I'm blocking some of them. I'm like, guys, I will never buy Hex ever. I'm like, teach their own. But like, that's the thing. I mean, it's, you get this following and you get this like army of people that are like diehard, you know, Hex, and like they're blowing up TikTok with it. And it's just like, well, shit, we need that, you know, we need that for Leo and Cub.
Yeah.
You know, not just the cat doing an occasional Cub TikTok ain't going to get it done.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to get everybody involved. And that's just network effect and
100%
and building a community and having that community say, you know what, it's valuable for us to go out and spread the word about this and share the mobile app and share Cub DeFi and all that stuff. So, you know, that's how organic growth is really going to happen.
100%. And I mean, you know, and as much as marketing is important, you know, when you bring users, when you drive users to the platform, even through marketing, things need to function, because otherwise they're going to just show up and then leave, as opposed to being, you know, because they have no skin in the game at that point, you know, it's all new to them. So, if they got to battle something, they're most likely going to be like, all right, this thing sucks, I'm out. So I think that's big in terms of functionality, and, hopefully we're through most of the growing pains, especially as the team is, you know, grown.
Yeah. It's definitely, you know, from my perspective on looking over everything and kind of keeping eyes on different aspects of, you know, management and maintenance on the app, because obviously apps require a lot of maintenance.
Yes.
And then balancing all of that, you know, with new developments and new apps and all that stuff. It's definitely gotten a lot easier the past couple of weeks.
Nice.
As new people have come on. Yeah. And we're just kind of on that grind right now of, you know, get more people and make alleviate the pressure of constant maintenance.
Yeah.
So that, you know, some people can focus on new stuff, some people can focus on maintenance, refunds happen faster, the geyser is automated, and that's just kind of where we're at. I think right now we're just kind of, you know, if you go back like 3 months ago, we were at the beginning of growing pains.
Yep.
And then we were like, okay, well, there's obviously an issue here, like 4 or 5 months ago. And then you move on from there, and you kind of get to where we're at now, which is like right in the middle of growing pains. I think we still have a little ways to go out of it, but
oh yeah, I mean,
definitely this, getting better.
This bottom line is there's always going to be growing pains as long as there's aggressive growth going on, which is exactly what's happening. So, you mentioned obviously the mobile app. So how Daryl Rolls asked, would the work you guys have done on the app be available for other tribes to build off of?
Basically, kind of
a tribe mobile app, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, we're building the mobile app for Leo Finance. So, it's just a Leo app, kind of like our website, but
gotcha.
It's just a Leo app. But one day, you know, I've always kind of said that one day, very possible that a lot of our stuff will get open sourced. Obviously as like a Leo DAO is established and all this stuff, I think that's kind of where we're headed, you know, in the long run. But, if you look at companies, you know, just in general, like public companies and CEOs and the way that companies are run, when you have too many people, like too many cooks in the kitchen trying to make decisions, nothing really gets done.
Yeah.
And you know, you can open source stuff and it can be good, but it also can be a hindrance to making quick decisions and having, you know, a few people make the top level decisions of what to do and what not to do. And I think that the project is so small right now and so early. In my mind, this is, you know, a 20, 30 year project. It's like an infant stage right now. Like we don't even have a mobile app. So
we need to moon before 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
Cat's getting old.
Yeah, but you know, and what I mean is that it's every year what you want to see, like Bitcoin, is you have growth every year, right? So the project is bigger this year than it was last year, and there's new apps and there's new users and things are looking good and it's just better than before. And like we were talking about, you'll have those growing pains, but, if you can just always get better, that's just kind of the goal.
100%.
So I think a lot of people look at stuff in crypto as very short term. Like a month is a year, a week is a month, a day is a week in crypto. So it's just like, it's like everything needs to happen right now and super fast and
100%
short term thinking.
I say that all the time too.
Yeah. I mean, my thinking has always been let's build stuff that will last and build stuff that's going to go back to that mission of width and depth in the long run. So,
how Daryl Rolls got an off topic question that now that I see this makes sense. He said, why is the ETH symbol part of Cal's background rather than Hive or a Cub token for that matter?
That is kind of a good question.
We have to update that because you've been using that background since before Cub was launched. I mean, dude, even I got point the right way. Even I got Leo and Cub.
Yeah, I got a someone made this background. I think it was
there you go.
Mario's fame.
Someone, there you go. It's out there. Someone make Cal a new background.
Well, yeah, he made this one and he made it when Wrapped Leo came out. So that's why it's Ethereum and Leo, because it was right when, this feels like forever ago, but this was November 2020. So this wasn't even a year ago.
Crazy, man. So much has happened.
Yeah. So that's kind of nuts because Leo was just a tiny little project. I think it was worth less than 10 cents. And then all of a sudden we do Wrapped Leo, and now we're on Ethereum, and obviously, you know, the traction picks up and the project explodes. And we're just so much bigger today than we were when Wrapped Leo launched. So
100%. I mean, it had, and that's the thing, you know, it hasn't even been a year,
right?
Like less than a year ago, it was just native Leo. That was it, you know, and the Wrapped Leo was like a big deal. And now the Wrapped Leo, a lot of people look at Wrapped Leo as almost an afterthought in terms of like interacting it or using it. And speaking of Wrapped Leo, as long as people can actually wrap Leo, I think they'll be happy.
Yeah.
That's one of those.
Wrapping works, you know, 95% of the time, but some of them do fall through the cracks. And that's, you know, going into the growing pains. That's what we're working on right now, is building better infrastructure so that, you know, wraps fail less frequently. And we've done a good job of that. If you go back to when, you know, when we created BLEO and the bridge to Binance Smart Chain, there were failed wraps like left and right. It was probably like 75, 25, like 75% of wraps failed, 25% of wraps worked. If you go back to the beginning. So it's just kind of gotten better and better over time. And at the point that we're at now, it's working the majority of the time. I've actually, I don't think I've ever personally had a failed wrap, because you know, it's just, it happens so infrequently that
I've been lucky. Also, I've never had an issue. I mean, my normies have had tons of issues, but I haven't had an issue. So
yeah, but that's the thing, right? Like when you get to volume, if there's a 95% hit rate and a 5% fail rate, then some people have to be the 5%.
100%.
But then, you know, the goal is to get that obviously to 100%. So over time, just keep improving that. But then also the fail process. So when a transaction fails, that's kind of where some of my focus is right now, is improving that process and making the refunds happen a lot faster. Because I know that's kind of a pain point for everybody.
And that's the key too. I mean, you know, it's one thing if it's failing. It's a whole nother thing, you know, if that refund is turned around fast.
Right.
So, just because he likes to ask a silly question every time, apparently this week it's not dogs. It's me. Mario wants to know, do you like cats?
Do I like cats? I don't like cats that much.
Boo.
I don't really mind them. Yeah. I especially hate this cat.
shots fired.
Yeah. No, I'm more of a dog person for sure. I grew up with dogs. I didn't grow up with cats.
That's all right. We'll still let you hang out. I'll still keep pumping and promoting Cub and Leo.
Yeah. I like lions. I like lions and cubs. Those are technically cats.
There you go. Exactly. We like the big cat, the lion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. What else we got here? Daryl said something about a spreadsheet or something that you're going to send him. I don't know. I guess that's a friendly reminder.
What's his username?
How Daryl Rolls. I don't know. This is on YouTube. Speaking of time management, I'm still waiting for that spreadsheet you said you'd send. I know you're a busy guy and we're not even close to launch, so no biggie. Oh, because I guess he's with the Stake Hive tribe or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I haven't gotten back to his DM yet, but I did say I was going to help him with, I have a spreadsheet from back in the day when we used to help people with tribe tokenomics. So,
oh, nice.
I'll shoot that over to him.
Cool. AKA Longboard Hive. I guess that's going to be.
Oh, okay. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Daryl. The consulting rate is, 100 hive per minute. I need Cal working on Leo and Cub. I'm just messing around. All right. So let's see if we got anything else here. Nothing in Discord. And I think I'm caught up in YouTube and Twitter isn't working. So
yeah, I got to fix that.
Hot Sauce is Lethal just commented W Leo. I guess that's just a random comment. I don't know. Doesn't seem to be a question. Yeah, it looks like we are pretty much caught up. So sweet. Good things happening, dude.
Yeah.
Looking forward to the upgrade to version 2. And then looking forward to the next IDO, especially.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously the upgrade's planned for Monday. And then, you know, we're getting ready for IDO number 2. And like I said, that could kind of, that could either be Polygon Cub or it could be the other IDO, which is the other team. But
Polygon.
Yeah, it's just whoever gets it done first. And, you know, there's no reason why we couldn't have one week and then one like a week later.
Yeah.
So they are keeping me in the loop about, you know, their progress and everything. So, yeah, I mean, their UI looks really cool. So they're basically, if you know what BuySwap is, they're basically a kind of a fork of BuySwap.
I am not familiar with BuySwap. I know BSwap, but not BuySwap.
Yeah, it's a big platform on Binance Smart Chain. It's like kind of a referral platform. So you like refer people into the exchange and then you earn a percentage fee.
What?
Yeah.
Interesting. So
it's actually really cool. And then you can see like how many fees get returned to you through swaps and stuff from from everything. Yeah. So, and there's like a referral competition and I don't know, I think it's pretty cool. And they're going to have, so they've already agreed to the new IDO model where obviously 100% Cub is raised and then we do the Cub Dash IDO pool.
That's awesome. That model. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Burn twice
the cub. I mean, it's literally just designed to make cub number go up.
Just keep burning the cub.
But it also is designed to give them, you know, on their end, it's designed to give them initial liquidity, which is the whole point of an IDO.
Yes.
It's just that the liquidity, instead of, you know, the original idea was, hey, let's get people liquidity in the form of BUSD from raising Cub-BUSD. We changed that idea into let's get people initial liquidity by just using cub and make the pool cub. So, I think we just kind of flipped that original IDO number one model on its head. And we said, here, let's do 100% Cub. And then instead of not just having, because the goal was to say solve for, you know, if you kind of break it down fundamentally, the goal was to just say, let's fix this issue of a liquidity crisis when people try to put in Cub-BUSD. And it kind of turned into, well, if you kind of strip that all away and say, well, what would the best model be, which would be, you know, what would be bullish for Cub in short term and long term terms, then the idea that we came up with was let's raise 100% Cub, still burn 50% Cub, and then use Cub as the base liquidity pair for the new token, which will create an entirely new use case for Cub anyways. So now you've got Cub going in and then you've got Cub getting burned and then you've got long term Cub being used as the base pair of liquidity for a new platform, which is just bullish because now when anyone goes to their platform, they're going to see that one of the top pairs for their token is a Cub pair. So it's kind of interesting. And it's also extremely important that we're on V2 for that one. So
I got a couple questions that came in here. Lethal asked one serious question. Can we get Trust Wallet updated with logo? I'm not familiar. I don't use Trust Wallet, so I'm not sure what.
Yeah. I don't use Trust Wallet either. But I do know what he's talking about.
Okay.
Yeah, I just have to kind of figure out what we need to do for that.
What is Lethal saying? Actually, it looks like they may have increased their minimum holders requirement to 5,000, which is pretty high, honestly, for DeFi being so new. I don't know what he's talking about. Maybe he's talking about the BuySwap.
No, for Trust Wallet. So you got to have a minimum amount of transactions and users just requirements. Oh. And then you can put the logo for Cub in there.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. I know some people are using Trust Wallet, but I mean, I know it's a very small minority of people using Trust Wallet in terms of interacting with Cub.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, I mean, it's there. Once we're meeting the requirements, I think we can definitely do it.
Interesting. All right. That makes sense. I think we're caught back up. Yeah, it looks that way. So what do we got? 5 minutes to the hour. So that's worked out pretty good. Yeah, man. Love to see the progress. I think you covered pretty much everything, but if there's any last words you got floating out there.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I think I think right now, and like the lot, like I was saying, you know, we've kind of moved from this phase of being early stage of realizing and experiencing, you know, massive growing pains just in terms of development and maintenance and, you know, administrative stuff like refunds and all that stuff. So we're kind of moved into the middle of the phase, which is, you know, we've fixed a lot of issues. We've automated things like the Geyser. We've added new people to the team to develop stuff, you know, like the mobile app and all this stuff. So we're kind of making a lot of headway on fixing those growing pains and then obviously expanding in general. So, you know, growing pains are, I think, a good thing in general, which they're just kind of an indicator that you're doing good things and expanding. That's kind of, you know, where my focus is right now is obviously solving for growing pains, but then also creating more growing pains by developing new stuff and making sure that we don't just sit on our hands and do nothing. Cause if we focus 100% on growing pains and, you know, solving issues with previous apps and we never work on new stuff, then we're kind of just sitting still. Get busy living or get busy dying. So
that's right.
Don't want to just sit on our hands and do nothing.
Look at you quote movies that came out before you were born.
Oh yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. So that's kind of where we're at.
Yeah, man, you got to do it. If you're not having problems, you're not growing. I mean, it almost sounds negative, exactly. But it's true. Like if you're not basically pressing forward, like if you're not having any problems, that means you're essentially not growing because that's how you improve. That's how you get better. I mean, you build something out and then you essentially make it better. I mean, it's not going to be perfect right off the bat. Hence things, you know, being in beta.
Beta, open beta, live beta. Yeah.
Live beta.
Yeah, we love it.
Live beta is awesome. So cool, man. All right. Well, that wraps up another AMA. So this was what, September 17th, 2021. And same bad time, same bad channel next week.
Yep. All right. Cool. Thanks, Mitch.
All right, man.
Everybody.
Be good.
All right. Yep. We'll see everybody later.